Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody! Welcome to another reality show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and we are in for quite the evening tonight. My lovely guest is going to be showing up probably at about a quarter after the hour. So, you know, I'm just going to basically, you know, kind of chit-chat with you guys and share my shares. It might go a little longer tonight just to give her some time to get home. So it's been, you know, oh my, it's been quite a week since last week. I launched a new radio show called The Mystical Mother Earth with my beloved sister, Janine Kimmel. We'll be airing that on Monday nights from 8 to 10. And, well, I should say we'll be airing that on Monday nights from 8 to 10 whenever I don't have a nanny gig on Monday night between 8 and 10. because, truth be told, lately I'm definitely starting to get the distinct impression that, well, there's, like, I've been letting go of planning for many months now. When I first started doing radio, I was booking my guests anywhere between 3 to 5 months in advance. And today, I would say I book my guests about a month in advance and sometimes within 5 days of the show that's coming up that week is when I'll book a show. Because the truth of the matter is, life is shifting tremendously, and I don't think, you know, anybody is not feeling this. I believe we're all feeling this in one way, shape, or form. And it requires that we show up differently in our lives. The shifting that is happening is nothing shy of, like, total transformation happening in our reality on every level. I mean, the level that I'm speaking of now with the radio show is, that's one level. And it's a significant level because I believe, from my own experiences anyways, the way that I would share what's happening is what used to work for us from a security point of view, which is, you know, kind of knowing what's coming up next, whether it be in the next week or the next month or the next 5 months. All of those kind of security boundaries and paradigms, they're pretty much falling apart. And, you know, everybody's an example of this. I am an example of this, of course. I do it on the show live. I also tell all my guests at this point, the only thing that I want to discuss on my radio shows, if they have a book, of course, we're going to discuss the topics of the book. But pretty much if you're coming on another reality show or the Mystical Mother Earth show, the only thing I want to discuss is what's going on in your present day. What's going on in your life right now? Because in my humble opinion and from my personal experience, life has turned the intensity button on high, the monotonous button and predictable button on low. And, you know, as Oprah Winfrey once said, everybody's got a great story. I fully and wholeheartedly support that notion. And on another reality show, it's absolutely my goal, my intention, and my beingness to live that truth, you know, to share the stories that I'm experiencing and to share what's going on in my life, you know, not from the perspective of, I learned a long time ago when I went to college for early childhood, life is, you can look at life about what you're not supposed to do, or you can look at life from the affirming. And it is much more productive, in my humble opinion, to look at life from the affirming. So I share my story and what I'm going through on the radio from an optimistic point of view, because I am an optimist, from a realist point of view, because I also consider myself a realist. And, you know, there are crazy things. It's interesting. I've had a few people recently contact me through Facebook wanting to come on the show, you know, going, oh, you know, they Facebook friend me, and then they're like, oh, you got a radio show? Oh, you know, I'm a healer. Or there was one woman that connected with me. She was a sound healer. And I'm actually a huge fan of sound healing. But I'll be honest with you, I can feel and I can sense what's going on with another reality show right now. And it's happening to another reality show because it's happening to me. Is that I'm becoming, I don't want to say more particular, even though that's how it kind of appears. What I'm wanting to do is, as my life is shifting in the paradigm of how I'm living my life, the guests that I'm going to have on my show are also going to shift. And this whole idea that a healer can heal people, I'm not resonating with that. What I'm really resonating with is people living the example of a life of awareness. Because there was a couple of months ago when I was working with, when I say working, not from a getting paid point of view, but I was, you know, interacting with a group of people that have a wellness collaboration. And I remember I sat down at a meeting with them, and these were people that are trying to bring, you know, energy work and things of that nature into the mainstream. And I honor that, but I also honor from my own living example that, you know, when the body starts going through changes, dimensional changes and paradigm shifting, and when beliefs start breaking down and new beliefs start coming in, and it's very similar to the way the planet is looking today. That's kind of what starts happening, in my humble opinion, to our bodies as well. So it's just because changes happen to our bodies, and I'm talking about fevers and flu-like symptoms and body aches and weight gain and or weight loss, fluctuations essentially, you know, really things happening and shifting in the body. When that starts happening, it's not necessarily something that has to go to be healed. I find from my own perspective, the shifting that is going on with my body is often something that has to be accepted, and accepted from the point of view that I haven't done something wrong. Actually, quite the opposite. I'm expanding. I'm expanding my awareness. I'm expanding my energy. I'm taking in a new frequency, and it is going to create changes in my physical being. And the biggest change that I'm embodying is not calling myself sick when, quote unquote, I have symptoms that another person might say, you're absolutely sick. Yes, and I actually realized as I said that actually applies mentally as it does as much physically. 'Cause I have been called, you know, crazy my whole life for my belief systems. And now there's definitely a sense within me that many of the shifts that I went through 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and even up to this very now moment, the whole planet is clearly experiencing as well. So it's kind of nice to have a little bit of a confirmation that, no, you know, Goldie's not crazy. I'm just living through an ascension, as we all are. So like I said, the reason why I'm saying this is I'm really starting to get that the people I want to have on another reality show, they have to fit a message and a frequency and a paradigm that resonates with me now. And who I am today is not the same person I was 5 years ago. Because personally, I am a huge fan of channelers. I have been listening to channelers for 10, 12 years. Not all channelers do I resonate with, but the ones that I do resonate with, I love dearly, and they have been a very big part of my life and a part of my comfort zone. And it's like these Tobias from the Crimson Circle. Hands down, I mean, I would go to sleep every night listening to his channelings. It was very comforting to me. But what I am experiencing today is the understanding that there are some channelers that are building upon the premise that we are going through this ascension, and that it is through our thought processes that we will assist ourselves to go through it. In other words, through meditation, we're going to bring in the violet flame, or in my case, what I was bringing in the 12th dimensional shield. It has been brought to my attention that these types of meditations are building mental constructs of the ascension. In other words, it is an inorganic and synthetic ascension. It's an ascension, in other words, that the mind is building, as opposed to kind of sitting still, breathing. Actually, the opposite of bringing in energies through your crown chakra and into your body and building from there would be to know that all of these energies already exist within ourselves and be pulling them out from within ourselves. In other words, if you want to play with the violet flame as a transmutation, absolutely the violet flame transmutes. But it's not about calling it in from Saint Germain. It's about pulling it out from within ourselves. The violet flame, the 12th dimensional shield, if you can think it, it exists within us. And it sounds like a very subtle difference, but in my humble opinion, it's a major, major difference. It is the difference between experiencing an organic ascension and building a timeline that is a false ascension. The mind is not what is creating the ascension. And I'm telling you, I say this with all humility. I have spent the last 16 years building my ascension. And it was funny because I was talking to a friend of mine today on the phone. The two biggest experiences that have changed my life, which was starting a radio show and going on a spacecraft, neither one of those experiences did I ever intend mentally. I never set an intention to be on the radio, and yet here it is. I'm on the radio 5 years ago. It's like when the situation came upon me, that's how you know it's organic, when you're not mentally creating it. And, you know, it sounds crazy because everything that we're taught that, you know, if you want something, you got to go after it. You got to create it. You got to make it happen. When it comes to the ascension, that's actually a distorted truth, in my humble opinion, because we're going to ascend. The planet is ascending. The planet at this point is there are YouTube videos, several of them, that I've posted myself, that are showing the earthquake activity that's happening all around the planet right now. On a daily basis, there are 5.0s through 6.0 earthquakes happening all over the planet. In other words, the tectonic plates are moving. And, you know, it's pretty clear that the water is shifting on this planet. I would know that because I live on the East Coast, and when Irene hit, it was basically, you know, everybody was worried about the wind, but really what became clear was the East Coast is, you know, water is getting dumped in places that hasn't been dumped before. And so my point, kind of what I'm getting to, is it is the planet that's ascending. The planet is changing into a star. She is going from a planet to a star. If you have any inclination or if you're drawn at all to watching the science shows, you know, the universe shows and Through the Wormhole with, I can't think of the guy's name, the black guy from Bucket List. There's lots of science shows now that basically take you into the cosmos. You'll see that science records planets going into, planets changing and shifting into stars, supernovas. They're happening all over the galaxy, all over the cosmos. This is not something that is unique in the cosmos. Now, it's unique in our solar system, but it is not unique when you look at the whole of everything. And for me, I'm clearly getting that this ascension is about expanding my awareness. It's like when I look at what's happening on the planet now, the shifting that's going on, whether it be water levels or financial levels or health or relationships, you know, if I was just looking at it from the perspective of, you know, Golden Hawk, the person, it can look really chaotic. It can look really scary because it's clearly unpredictable. It's clearly happening across the board, meaning there's not a country on Earth that is not affected by the shifting that's happening, and it can look a little scary. But when I look at the shifting that's going on from the expanded point of view, which is I'm starting to connect to the consciousness that is Golden Hawk, the planet. And I'm connecting with this consciousness simply by going into the woods and connecting with Mother Earth. So by connecting with Mother Earth and the planet, the perspective of this shift is it's natural. It's not scary at all. It's actually quite exciting. It goes from being something that's scary and terrible to something that's beautiful and fascinating, because what's happening is Earth is a womb, and we are literally birthing a new human species, a human species that, as a species, will be fifth-dimensional beings. And all of us have this opportunity to become this if, indeed, we stay connected with Mother Earth. Sade has joined us. Welcome to the show, Sade! Woo!
Hi!
How are you?
I'm at home. I just got home from work. Had a full day.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to take a breath and, you know.
Yeah, I do,
actually. I'm just going to close up my thoughts. I saw you come on, so I just wanted to bring you on. And I super appreciate the shout-out about your timing, because I definitely don't have a problem talking for a few minutes. When I know it this way, I didn't sweat it, so I really appreciate that.
Of course.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm really highly recommending, if you're getting out and you're connecting with the planet, and this can be at the beach, this can be in the woods, this can be on a mountain, this can be in a 3-foot space of grassland that you just happen to have outside your back door. I recommend really connecting with the Earth, because that connection will help you understand the shifting going on from a microcosm point of view and a macrocosm point of view. And I'm telling you, it is very, very different from the planetary point of view from what we are being told, you know, from the CNN point of view or, you know, the Fox News point of view. And I get it that most of my listeners, you know, you're not picking up newspapers anymore. But there's, you know, there's still mass consciousness that, you know, is like really petrified about, you know, the shifting of stuff. You know, mm-hmm. Their houses are shifting, and, you know, relationships that they thought were just, you know, set in stone are, you know, people are awakening going, I'm not happy here anymore, and I want out. And they don't know what to do with that, you know, and Earth
what do you do?
Yeah, well, I mean, I say, you know, you take a deep breath and you go, okay, if, you know, change
follow
is good,
your guides, right?
Right?
Follow your heart. And, like, for instance, right now, I'm in a humongous shifting process.
Nice.
Just humongous. So last weekend, I'm like, I'm realizing, like, I know the Earth is going through her purification. I know all this stuff is happening.
Right.
I'm aware of all this stuff happening. I am a little afraid of the unknown, like,
right.
To be quite honest.
I love that.
Right on. Trying to be, you know, just go with the flow. It's all good. But, hey, I live right on the Pacific. I live right in Vancouver. Like,
okay.
I live in a high-rise, 2 blocks from the ocean. Okay.
Okay. Right.
So, a part of me is, you know, I don't want to be in denial that shifting's happening, the Earth is moving, it's
right.
happening.
Right.
I don't want to live in fear either. I don't want to
okay.
be, like, living in fear, right? So what do I do? Well, last weekend I decided, well, time to go home, time to go
see,
one province over to Alberta,
exactly.
reconnect with my family, reconnect with my roots, reconnect
right
to nature.
On.
And what do I do last weekend? I put my apartment for sublet. Quit my
right.
job. Just told
right.
my job today that I won't be returning on Monday.
And when I say nice, meaning, because you know what I've realized on so many occasions, it's just, I can't even document, but I'm happy to share stories. I have always found myself in the right place at the right time. And when the proverbial shit hit the fan, if I was there, I was prepared. Or if I wasn't meant to be there, I just wasn't there.
Exactly,
you know?
Right? And that's just what I have to trust. And I just have to trust my instincts. And,
exactly.
You know, I've
trust
built
the
whole life out here for myself.
Exactly.
I've been out here for 6 years since I was 18. And now, in one weekend, I decide, time to go. Well, you know, it's not easy. It's a process. Just like the Earth is going through her process. Just like,
yeah.
you know, everybody grieves. Everybody goes through changes and shifts, and that's what the Earth is doing right now. And, like, I feel like I'm just shifting with her, and, like, it isn't easy to leave behind everything you've built. But, you know, it's just what is necessary sometimes to clean yourself up, to make yourself a better person, to just go with it, like, be prepared,
yeah.
figured, be prepared to, you know, it's not going to be all roses, and,
well,
yeah, I don't know what
roses.
It's
going to
be, like, a part of me is like, wow, I'm leaving next week, like,
yeah, but
I'm just
I'll
in
be
a
honest,
whole,
Sade, it's going to be, it can be, if you look at it, what you lose in stuff, you gain in a radiance
exactly,
that,
like, that's
really
why I don't want to be attached to. I don't want to be attached to all this stuff. I have this whole apartment filled with crap, like, filled with stuff. And I'm subletting it. Like, I'm taking as little as I can with me.
Okay.
I will have to eventually deal with all this stuff later. Well, I don't
okay.
have to, but I will.
Okay.
You know, like, it's, I don't know. It's funny. It's just funny. Like, I'm just in a...
Well, because, and you're not defined by your stuff. It's certainly not in my...
Oh, no way.
In my you're not at all. And I'm not saying...
You're not
the,
your
the
stuff,
thing about,
right?
Right.
You're
not
your job.
It's okay.
You're
enjoy
not,
it while you have it. But if that is your identity, then you have lost a bigger piece of essence than you know. You know what I mean? Stuff can be... When I was 14, my house burned down to the ground. When I was 30, I moved out from my boyfriend's house. I left... All the stuff that was there was mine. I left it.
Yeah.
At 42, I moved from Buffalo, New York, back to my dad's house, left all the stuff that was up there. If it didn't fit in my car, I didn't take it. It's like
yeah.
it became a process of, okay, you're going to let go of everything again? Yep. Because
yeah.
it's just stuff.
Yeah, totally. That's
yeah.
where I'm at right now. Like,
that.
Totally, like, well, how much do I take with me? Do I leave everything here? Will I come back and get it later? Like, you know, I've accumulated, and I do, and I give away, and I, you know, I recycle and, like, I renew and, like, I'm always in motion, right? But still, I have all this stuff. It's like, fuck. I don't want to deal with you. So I'm not. I'm subletting my apartment, and I found the perfect subletter, of course. And he's like, all I need is a closet and a workspace, and you can leave everything on your walls. You can leave everything on your shelves. I don't care.
Oh, wow.
So I am. I'm just leaving as much as I can here and taking what I need, like my tools, my resources,
right.
You know, my clothes.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I'll miss my bed and my couch and my big screen TV and, you know, all that shit, but it's not like it's important. What's important is being with family and, like, having love in your life and, you know, expanding and just...
Well, and especially right now. What I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what you're getting intuitively, but, I mean, I cannot shake the feeling that I am preparing for global changes.
Mm-hmm, me
I
too.
Mean, huge global.
Like, I can't believe I just quit my job. My job was like, wow, we almost had a full-time permanent position for you. And, you know, I make good money. I have my own office. I'm like 24,
yeah.
You know, I have it all.
Yeah.
Like, I have it all in society's terms of what all should look like. But, nope.
Well, and it's not that's applicable because, you know, when you have it all, you also have an intuition to know when it's time to go. Because, Sade, I have left many experiences in what I would call... I call it the... what's Seinfeld's first name? Why can't I think of it?
Jerry?
What is it?
Jerry.
Jerry
Seinfeld?
Jerry Seinfeld left the show when it was always at the number one spot.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't wait... He could have easily gotten paid stupid amounts of money to do it another 3 to 5 years. Easily. But I call it the Jerry Seinfeld. When you leave at the top, it's because you have intuition.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful, that very empowering.
Yeah, I like that. That really helps me right now.
Yeah.
Because I am leaving. Like, everybody loves me where I work. You know, I work for a community, and I work for a really integral company. Like, I love my job. Like, I really love my job. I feel blessed to have had such an amazing job. And with amazing people, but I just know when it's time to move on, and it was really hard to give that notice, and I'm sure it was hard for Jerry to say, okay, this is it for the show.
Yeah, because it's people that know that it's not the end.
Yeah.
That you're never not going to create wonderful again. You're creating the next wonderful chapter of your experience, which...
Yeah.
What all of us kind of know is that it's not necessarily about the working and the stuff as much as it is showing people how to stay centered and balanced in critical changes. Critical.
Yeah, and showing people that, you know, you can change anytime you want. Just because things are going well doesn't mean you have to stay like that.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I don't need, like, all those people, like, I am not my job, you know, I'm this,
exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? And people get so caught up in, like, in their job and their security, and it's like,
secure.
Well, I trust the universe too much to stay stagnant in a job that, I get financial security and, you know, like, it's fun and it's good, but I'm just, like, there's just different work for me out there. Like, there's just more deeper work for me to do. And
soul
I know
work.
Too much to just stay in that job. Like, it's a good job, but
And the beautiful part is you're the living example because you are doing the changes. So many people wait until, you know, the ceiling caves in
like
on
do
them
or
before
die,
they
right?
move. Yeah. And you know, I'm not judging that, but you're absolutely right that there are literally beings on the planet that are being called to their posts. I mean, that's how it feels. And I'm not alone. George Cavassos was called to be back home in Australia. We're all getting this call to go back home.
It's weird.
It's awesome.
Like, my friend,
because, listen,
my good friend.
Home is just, going, your home
everybody
is going to
is.
Get very interesting for all of us.
And I'm scared as hell. Like, nobody triggers me like my family. you know, I could stay here and live in peace, or, you know, I could go home and do some more healing and do some more clearing and do some more reconnecting. And, yeah, I love my grandma. I only have one grandma, you know. Like, I want to spend time with her before, you know, like, we're not here forever, you know, in human form. And I just want to enjoy my grandma, and I want to, like, you know, even if they trigger the hell out of me, I just want to love them anyways, you know?
Yeah, but listen, you're not coming home the same person you were when you left.
Exactly.
You're really not. So it's going to be different. It cannot be different.
Yeah.
It cannot.
And I'll probably be traveling around and being a nomad for a while. And, you know, I won't have a room, but I'll be safe and warm at night. No matter what.
Definitely. And if you're not, it's because you're the adventurers riding the ship in the massive of, you know, waves, you know, traveling the new world. Because it's about being safe, but it's really about the choice to know. You know, I think all of us are going to start making choices that really just kind of, we're going to look fear in the face and go, you know, it's time for me to become truly who I am. You know, that it's like breaking through those membranes that have kept so many of us limited that we just can't. The soul is just becoming literally a compelling force of our presence, at least for me. And I know Janine is feeling the same way. Several of my friends are feeling that, you know. And it's funny because, you know, I have several people in my world as well that are still, you know, kind of, you know, they don't have the strength, so to speak, that, you know, they're talking the ascension, but they're not yet making the moves.
Yeah.
And I respect you so tremendously because you are making the moves. Because that's when you know you're the strength that you are. You can't know you're the strength if you're just talking the talk. That's not where the strength comes from.
Yeah.
You know, it comes from the experience of, you know, I know this looks crazy, but it's something I just have to do it because my soul tells me this is what I'm supposed to do. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know,
exactly.
It's not logical. It's soulful. It's soulful.
Yeah, and, like, what's up with this grief, you know? Like,
well,
my dad's getting
frustrated
with me because I'm, like, crying, and I'm like, well, I'm supposed to be grieving. Like, this isn't an easy choice. I'm leaving behind everything I built, and, you know, and he's getting frustrated because I'm looking at it like a loss, sort of. Well, it is in a way, but he's looking at it like this huge opportunity for me, and I'm like, I don't know, it's weird. It's such different perceptions, you know, and I don't know. It's like, am I just putting myself through pain? Is it all just a perception, or do I really need to go through these emotions?
What does your heart tell you?
Well, my heart's hurting.
Well, hurting from change is one thing, but does your heart, you know, when you make
still
these decisions,
the right decision.
Are you going to regret them?
I don't know. I won't. I know I won't regret the decision, but, like, yeah, my heart's hurting from, you know, just.
Aw, sweetie. Listen, these are big choices, but I'm telling you, from day one that we connected on Facebook, you're a big soul. You've got a big soul, my friend. And these are shoes that you were, the term I use often for myself is you were born to fly.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's just like, and then, you know, and I feel bad for crying in front of people because they don't know how to react or they feel like they have to do something. It's like, you don't have to do or say anything. It's just what I'm going through, and it's okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like,
tears
and then
are,
I feel
tears are like the rain. They cleanse. They make you feel better.
And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm pissing off my dad. That's all I know.
That's funny. I pissed off my dad this week, too. That's why I'm over my son's house doing the radio show. So, you know, hey, listen, our choices are going to piss people off. That's really beyond my control. So,
He's so supportive in my choice in moving, and, like, we're going back together to do some reconnecting with the family, and now I'm like, oh, I'm leaving everything. I'm leaving my job. I'm leaving everything. Like, I don't want to fucking fight with you. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to be traveling with you for the next month. Like, am I making the right choice? Like, I am making the right choice, even if, you know, even if we are triggering each other.
Well, exactly. Because, you know, one of the things that I get is, as, you know, right now the universe is literally compressing itself into a single point. I mean, that is essentially, we are going into 0 point.
Totally, like,
we got to clear. That which isn't compressible must be neutralized, you know, alchemized.
Yeah.
So exactly right. If there's things that you need to just experience, and the alchemy is simply going through the trigger and allowing it to be okay. That's the only thing necessary to alchemize. Just accepting the trigger.
Yeah.
And your ascension is, in other words, in order for you to go to that single point of zero, that stuff has to go out. And
oh,
so if
my
it was
God.
A,
I'm going to be going through so much in the next
Pardon?
Month. I'm just like, oh my God, like, I'm going home, I'm going to face the music.
Yeah, I think, I mean, definitely the fact that your grandmother's there, I'm sure they're proud of you for everything you've accomplished.
Yeah, they are, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, because, you know, I remember when I came home from Buffalo, I literally showed up in my father's house. I had not been there for 5 years because I moved out when my mom died. Because when she died, I looked at my dad and went, oh, my. There's no way I can heal from my mother's death with my dad because, you know, we pretty much, you know, we batted heads all the time, all the time.
Yeah.
And the first thing he said to me when I came home from Buffalo after being out of the house for 5 years was, this isn't your house anymore and you're not welcome here. And I looked at him and I went, home or homeless, Dad? You know, you're going to have to throw me out because I got nowhere else to go. And he was like, you know, well, you better have rent by the end of this week. And I thought, if you don't have rent, you got to go. And it was a Monday, and by the grace of God, I had a job by Thursday and had rent by Friday. I mean, because it was a process that I had to. I slept on the couch for the first month. And then he was like, clean up this mess. And I went, no, if you want your living room back, let me go back to my bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, you know, well, okay, you know. And, of course, inevitably, we did heal. I mean, it didn't happen overnight, absolutely not. He busted my balls, and I busted his right back. But I learned tremendous, because one thing I would highly recommend, it's what worked for me, humility plays a huge role when we go back home. Huge. And humility plays a huge role in the ascension.
Yeah.
It does. It's nature's way of cleansing that which does not serve us.
Yeah.
And
I guess
you know
the
it.
Humility is, for me, is like, I don't, like, you know, I don't have a job. I don't have, you know, I mean, I have to.
Oh, you will,
do,
though. You'll get
I will.
A job.
I know.
I know you will. You're a great manifester. That's what these last 5 years have shown you.
Mm-hmm.
And not a manifester because, you know, quote unquote, you're just using magic. A manifester because you have integrity, because you're a hard worker, because you're worthy to be on everyone's staff. Everybody, you know, they can sense when you walk into the room, I want that girl on my staff.
Yeah, I know. I'm not worried about that. I just, you know, just the first, just the beginning. Like, I don't, honestly, like, I don't want to work for a while.
Right on. I
just want to travel around and visit my family, and I want to be taken care of for a while. I've been taking care of myself for so long, you know?
Okay. If you can manifest it, hey, bravo to you, my friend. You know, if that works, that's cool. But
I have a lot of family.
You'll know when it's not working. So whenever that time is, you'll know it. And you'll,
exactly.
You know, because, you know, if the soul wants you, especially because the work you were doing was therapeutic, right? You were working with people, helping them kind of find center and self.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that.
Yeah. So,
clearly needed on the planet right now.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly.
Yeah. I just need to find my center and
Right, right.
Like right now, I've just been really ungrounded for a while. And I think living in a high rise right by the ocean on the Pacific has really just gotten to my wits.
Really? That's interesting. Okay.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, that's very interesting.
Let's explore it.
Yeah. Let's. I love you, Strade. Well, you know, I would definitely say, you know, when you go back home, is there more trees and forests and, you know, that kind of element?
Actually, there's just, it's so plentiful here in Vancouver in BC. It's like a natural rainforest out here, and the trees are huge, and it's amazing power out here.
Yeah.
But, like, my dad reminded me, like, there's, you know, there's power in the wind, there's power in the prairies, there's power in everything.
Yeah.
Everything has its own elements. And
right on.
And, you know, like, there's bush out there, and, you know, my dad does hunting. He hunts moose, and we eat moose meat, and I'd love to go hunting with my dad and, you know, just experience other things, like building a sweat lodge. Like, my dad knows how to do all that kind of stuff, you know?
Nice. Yeah, that's definitely
and
powerful.
That's what we want to do when we get back. If we make it on the 21st, we want to have a sweat lodge for fall solstice and... Yeah, and I've never helped build a sweat lodge. I haven't been to a sweat lodge since I was a kid, so I really just want some clearing, some purifying myself. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so it is going to be an interesting journey, and I just need to do my best to, I guess, not complain. I guess
you've never come across to me as a complainer, but I hear. Because I think what's going to be interesting is, you know, it's almost like, I'm going to be selfish for a minute. Well, I'll be honest. I'm selfish often, but your choice of what you're doing is confirming my sense of we are all going home right now because the ship that's coming, Sade.
We need each other.
Yeah,
and we need to be
down.
With those
it's
who we trust
global,
and love.
Global shifting is happening. You know, exactly. It's Canada's family. It's America. It's Japan. It's China. It's South America. You know what I'm saying? Like Australia. It's like this is something that
and we're going to learn to rely and trust each other, whether we're family or not. Like
absolutely, we'll become
we're all
the human family. The human family.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, and I trust your instinct maybe more than you do, which is why I'm saying, yes, Sade is feeling it. I mean, it's confirming for me that, okay, you know, like, because the preparation is not like, you know, some people, I guess, are storing food and water. That I'm not getting the sense to do that. I'm getting more the sense the preparation is, you know, steady as she goes when, you know, whatever this, like, because I get a sense it's going to be another 9/11 situation, and I don't mean that, just mean something that's going to rock the world, you know, from a, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened kind of thing, even though I don't know what it is going to be.
Yeah.
And the center is that the peaceful calm of, listen, okay, it happened, now let's just stay calm and, you know, let's see this for the truth it is. What exactly is it that we're looking at here? You know, don't get caught up in the whole whirlwind of the fear, but what's happening? What's the truth of this?
Yeah, and to be honest, like, I don't want to be stuck on the side of the mountains if a big earthquake happens and the bridges fault out and, you know what I mean? Like,
that's,
sure, that's my own fear and it may or may not happen, but, you know, like, I just want to be with family. Like, I just, there's lots of feelings for me there and lots of work for me to do there, and I've acquired a lot of skills here, and I can transfer them over, and I know all that, you know, but, I'll be honest, like, my
fear. Now,
where
are you going? Is this where you were born? Are you going back to the space you were born in? You see, that's what I'm getting
that's
the sense
the
of.
The area,
for,
We're
all going back to our anchors.
Yeah,
the
and
anchors
the funny thing is my good friend, Jen, she just moved to Edmonton, that's where I was born, that's where she's from too. We met out here at school, and she just decided when, like, this summer, I'm going home. Yeah. From going home. Like, nothing, yeah. nothing was working for her out here. And I kept saying, well, I have a good job. Everything's working for me here. If Creator wanted me home, he would tell me to go home, right? He would make it hard for me. But I think my lesson is you just have to make the choice yourself. Like, Creator is not always going to put an obstacle in your face to make you change. You yeah. have warnings. You have awareness. You have, you know, you have all whatever YouTube videos you've watched and, like, you've had, you know, sufficient guidance. And you don't,
exactly.
something big in your face doesn't need to happen for you to make your choice because.
Right on.
Because I'm too aware for that. Like, I can follow my own intuition and, you know, like, maybe back then that would need to happen for me. Like, you know, Spirit would have to, like, make something, like, give me a shake. But, like, now I'm too aware. And so, yeah, I'm, like, and other signs is, like, I've been sad. I've been feeling lonely. I've been feeling, you know, like, everything's great at work. I feel good and I'm at work. But as soon as all my friends are going home. Like, they're leaving. They're moving. And, you know, and I'm just feeling, like, lonely. I'm like, I miss my grandma. I miss everybody. And I don't know. It's weird. Like, yeah, work's good, but there's still something missing, you know?
Mm.
So, I don't know.
I resonate with that. Because, you know, it's funny. For the last few months, I've been trying to get a nanny gig. And I swear to God, I feel like my soul is going, nope, you can't commit to nanny work. That's not where you're going right now. I mean, I'll literally get right up to the interview process where it's time for me to go to their house and meet them and interview. And I'll get the email going, you know, we got to cancel, let's reschedule. And then they just don't reschedule. And, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years. I got great references. You know, it's happened to me 3 times to the point where I'm going, you know, like, okay, what are you trying to tell me? You know, like,
yeah.
Where do you want me? And it's like, when I need to know, I'll know where they want me. But I know where they don't want me. And they don't want me committing to some certain family, you know, it's just not where they want me. And when
yeah.
I say they, I'm talking about aspects of myself. Nothing, I don't turn to quote-unquote ascended masters or, you know, my life is mine. I am fully responsible for it. I enjoy being fully responsible for it. And that to me is the most self-empowering space we can all be in, is to acknowledge I have different aspects in different dimensions. Absolutely. I'm not saying that I don't. But it's me that is guiding me to be where
yeah,
I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, you ultimately make those choices, and however
yeah.
the guidance comes to you, whether it's, you know, you're hearing it, that's you hearing it. That's your
right.
experience.
Right, so when I screw up, there's nobody to blame but me.
mm-hmm.
But on the same note, you know, I've eliminated
my guide's
the middleman.
Fault.
Well, you know, because I see religions often bringing people to a place of, you know, you get so far in your expansion, but then there's some sort of master, guru, God.
That will
and
always
say,
know more than you.
Exactly. And I'm like, oh, I'll be damned. I'm just too arrogant, to be quite honest, to have that.
Yeah.
It's like, for me, and I'm not speaking for anybody else, no one knows more for me or what's better for me than me.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know, and I am not ashamed or afraid to speak this truth. In fact, I highly recommend you know, it's so funny because, right, when we were growing up, being self-centered was considered, you know, that's a bad space to be. Don't be self-centered. That's selfish.
Yeah.
And I look at those words, self-centered, that's a bad thing?
yeah. Self-centered.
You know, come on. Well, who's
centered
making the rules
in yourself?
Over here?
Well, should I be centered in others?
Right. Should I be giving my power away to who? Oh, you know, you'll want the, you know, the Catholic Church or the Jewish temples want the what?
Yeah. They want all
Sorry.
Your focus and all your energy.
Exactly. Well, because you know what? That is a commodity. My energy, your energy, all of our energy, that's a commodity. Because I
yeah.
have seen just from doing
that's
this
That's what
radio
my auntie
show.
Says. Like, it's really weird. Like, my auntie's like, well, everybody's on the internet and everybody's on Facebook and everybody's focusing on TV and internet. And she has this theory that the government or somebody who's privy to this information is taking our energy and using it.
I absolutely agree with her.
Uh-huh.
There's mind control going on. And
I've
learned from my own experiences is when I'm self-centered, I'm not in my mind, so they can control all they want. My choices aren't coming from my mind. They're coming from my sense of self.
Yeah.
And that part can't be controlled. The mind can be controlled, but that's not the place that I make my choices from.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, I don't have to beat them at the game of mind control. I simply have to be in my heart and be in my center, because that space is truly, that's my presence. Nothing can touch me when I'm in my presence.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing. Yeah.
Totally. Nothing can bring
you
down.
And it's not that we can't share. Right. It's not that we can't touch others. It's simply I can't be manipulated. I can't be coerced. And again, it comes from the humility of, listen, when I'm in my center, that does not mean I'm perfect. I make mistakes. And I'm you know, listen, I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes. But when I'm in my center, it's almost like I'm in another dimension other than the fear. You know, the head is built for, the brain is built for fear. It's got two hemispheres. One is, that means it's built for opposites.
Yeah.
You know,
why are we built for opposites?
Well, because that was the journey to come here to experience. You know, we came here to figure, you know, if you want to know about light, which I believe this whole universe is about light, well, we're going to have to experience some darkness in order to understand light, because that's as much a part of light as light. You know, dark is a part of light because it's the lack of it. You know, so you got to know about those things in order to become a creator.
Yeah.
Listen, if at any point in time I sound like I'm lecturing, you go, Goldie, you stop that.
Oh, no, I'm just I've had quite a day with my emotions, so if I'm just breathing heavy, it's because actually I have a bit of a headache from crying a lot today, because I just, you know, even my coworkers were crying because I was leaving, so.
Right.
Yeah, it's a pretty big thing happening here, but it's so necessary, and it's so,
it's divine.
I just
You're
have
divine.
To be open to the experience.
Yeah.
And whatever that brings
Can you share anything about your dreams? Have your dreams been giving you messages? I mean, my dreams have been pretty prophetic lately.
Dreams? I haven't really been writing them down lately. It's funny. This girlfriend of mine, well, she used to be a coworker. I haven't seen her in years, but we're on Facebook, and
okay.
She's doing this thing called the 90-day challenge. Like, she's promoting
this. Oh,
I've
heard of that. Yeah.
So she's, it's like this weight loss thing.
Okay.
And, so she's really into it. And she used to be a recruiter. I used to work at this recruiting agency with her. She hired me on there. And she's, like, you know, getting everybody interested in this. And I'm thinking of maybe trying it. Some, like, $99 for a month worth of shakes and da-da-da-da-da.
Okay.
But, so I was talking to her, I think, on, like, Monday night, and that was the full moon, and I had a dream about her that night, like, and I haven't seen her in forever, and she was, like, so clear in my dream. I was just walking down the street, and I walked right by her, and I knew it was her, but I was just gonna mind my business and keep walking, but then she looked at me, so it was like, hey, how are you? And we had a big hug, and it was like we visited in dreamland. Like, we spoke that day, and that evening we had a visit in Dreamland, like, on the street.
Nice.
It was so weird. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I definitely,
because I felt,
like,
her essence, like, through the phone, because she's just such a positive light.
Yeah.
And, so we ended up having a little visit. But other than that, like, I did have a dream a while back, like, the same day of the Japan earthquake.
Oh, wow.
I had a dream. I was standing on my balcony, and this is before I even knew about the earthquake.
Okay.
So that same night, literally, I had this dream that I was standing on my balcony, and there was these like all the buildings around me started falling down, and it wasn't like really dramatically falling down.
Okay.
It was weird. They were like kind of futuristic buildings, and they were like, it was like a building, but then there was a gap between like the next floor, and then there was like another five stories on top of that gap. So it was like, it was built on like air. Like there was the whole building from the ground up, and then there was a gap of air, and then there was another building on top of it.
So wait a minute,
and
but then, the gap was between the fourth and fifth floors?
I don't know what floors. They were pretty high up there, actually.
Okay.
So it was just like these futuristic buildings, how I looked at it. Like they're like this, like, I don't know, some cool architecture. So anyways, the building started falling down, starting from like the floating part. Started falling down.
Okay.
And then I was standing on my balcony in my high rise watching all these other high rises falling down around me, and I saw two Canada flags fall down off of one of the buildings, and I was like, whoa. And yeah, then I woke up, and then I was about to go have a shower and get ready for work, and my mom called me freaking out. She was like, there's going to be a tsunami. Japan just had an earthquake. Blah, blah, blah. It was really bad. I'm worried about you. Get home. Like, that's what I deal with, right? Like, for my mom.
Well, that's a mom's prerogative to worry
about.
Yeah,
exactly. So, and so that I started crying, like, in the shower because I just finished having that dream.
Right.
I was just crying in the shower, like, oh, my God. I don't know
well,
if you but, heard,
I mean,
but...
Did you also recognize your connection that, you know, the fact that you were dreaming about it is literally, without, you know, knowing about it first, it is reinforcing to you that you are indeed connected with planet Earth. That,
yeah.
You know, we should never fear our connection to her because
no.
This is the Divine Mother. You know, if... And not that, you know, our biological mothers take on the essence of our divine mother planet
yeah.
Earth.
And, like, I'll
boy,
be honest,
somebody
like,
I want taking care of me, it's Earth.
I do, like, I used to have really vivid dreams and, like, I like really prophetic dreams like that. And, like,
right.
I feel really deeply and, like, since I was a teenager, you know, I smoked a lot of weed and I smoked a lot of pot. And I think that was, like, my buffer.
Okay.
To not be feeling so much of everything that's happening around me because I didn't understand my intuition and I didn't understand, like, that stuff. And,
yeah, okay.
Like, I'll be
okay.
honest, like, I'm still coming out of, like, coming more clean from that,
okay.
from weed.
Okay,
like,
I
understand. I've been quitting, like, just, like I haven't smoked in, like, a while. So
okay.
I've been having more dreams lately and... And, yeah, there's a part of me that's just really coming to terms with my intuition and just honoring it and not, you know, not numbing it because that's what
right.
I tend to do is numb it because it, yeah. sometimes I don't want to know.
No, I listen. I'm with you, sister. I'm with you. You know, and I'm not quitting pot.
It's such a, like, for me, like...
Well, and you know what I'm... Because I'm starting to totally realize that... Listen, my soul's journey, it's already done. Wherever I'm going, it's already happened. And so I don't necessarily have to, and this is going to sound almost profound, but I don't necessarily have to align my personality to what I'm doing. I accept that wherever I'm going, it, you know, is my divinity. But, you know, I can eat chocolate, I can eat red meat, and I can smoke pot. Because the simple fact is, it's going to happen anyways, and because I trust it, I don't have to necessarily know, you know, that clarity, you know, of, you know, eating vegan and, you know, not
yeah,
you're
and
only
I do.
Doing
I, like,
that.
Like when I do
be
eat
clear.
Better and I do, you know, like do better and stuff like that, like I do. I get more clear and I get more like.
Well, but do you beat yourself up when you don't? Because that's the point. Don't beat yourself up no matter what. And I'm not saying that, you know, go back and smoke pot. That's not what I'm saying is it's okay. Our choices. From a personality point of view, are not going to dictate one way or another where our soul is taking us. Our soul is going to take us.
Yeah.
With, but if you're beating yourself up, you know, for certain choices you're making, that's the part that you want to lose because, like,
yeah.
like, I know people are saying they're not eating, and I'm going, are you kidding me? When I turn fifth dimensional and I'm not eating anymore, then I'll stop eating. Until then, I'm eating like I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
I'm eating because we're coming into the last months where we're ever going to eat again. Why would I give that up when I love eating? Eating is, for me, it's a very sensual experience for me to eat. And I'm not going to give that up until I'm a fifth-dimensional being and I don't have intestines anymore. Then I'll stop eating.
Yeah.
That's just
I hear ya.
You know, it's like, right?
I do. I beat myself up a lot because my grandmother was a huge advocate for drug and alcohol free because our people are just so abused by drugs and alcohol and like liquor. You know, that was a huge part of our assimilation process, getting us liquored up. Our people. So that's where I have a shame thing about it.
Oh, everybody's journey. I see, right? No, I hear you. I mean, for me, I've never liked the taste of alcohol, so it's never really...
Oh, I don't really drink. Like, I don't really like drinking.
Neither do I.
I don't like it at all. But, like, I've always been a pot smoker, and, like,
that's
always something I have had guilt about. And, like, I always keep it quiet. Like, nobody at work knows. Nobody, you know, like, I keep it really, like, down low and... Like, so I have, this love-hate thing, and it's, like, this shame thing that...
Yeah, but listen, do you take any prescription drugs to keep you calm?
No.
Okay. In my humble opinion, Prozac is way more dangerous to your physical being and your spiritual being.
Yeah, and you know what? When I first moved to Vancouver and I quit smoking weed for a while, I was going through, like, all these crazy mood swings and, like, because, like, I knew I was, like, you know, and the doctor prescribed me Prozac. And I took it for a little while, but not, like,
how'd you
take
feel
it.
When you were on it?
Well, the first time I took it, like, it felt good. It was, like, it was making me giggle and stuff.
Okay.
And it was nice because I was just kind of in a little cycle of depression, kind of.
Okay.
So it got me out of that cycle, but I only took it for, like, 2 days.
Oh.
So what it did is it reconnected my happy cells, and I can, like, do that on my own now. I don't need to pop a pill. You know what I mean? Like, it just stopped that neural pathway for me.
Yeah.
You know what
it's
I mean?
And have you ever seen the dog whisperer when he goes... to the dog, he goes...
No, I've never seen that show. I heard of it.
It's a great show, and he just shows... It's essentially like what you just said was acupuncture to your energy field. You just used it to redirect the energy like a... So you could reconnect in a place, in a space that you wanted to be. Because have you ever talked to somebody who's been on Prozac for years?
No.
Yeah, they're zombies.
Yeah.
They don't feel. There is no feel. I mean, there's no drive. There's no ambition. There's no sensuality.
And that's kind of how I was getting with the weed, too, you know.
Okay, well, but
then you
stop it. But I'm saying,
exactly.
You know, it's interesting because that's legal, but, you know, something grows from the earth that I can
I agree. Like, you know, it is. Like, they even prescribe it now. Like,
totally.
Obviously, it does something.
Well, that's that whole controlling factor. You know, it's like, you know, that's what, you know, everybody's got to make their own choices. But from my perspective, you know, you're gonna damn me.
I'm not a bad person. Thank you. Just kidding.
Exactly. Well, and I like I said, I've spoken to several people that were, it's not just Prozac. I mean, there's like a whole list of these.
Oh, my
drugs.
God, I know. It's sick.
You know, a pill, a purple pill for this, a blue pill for that.
No,
it's
refuse. I refuse to take pills. The only pills I'll take is an Advil if I have a super bad headache.
Exactly. That's so funny. That's the only one I'll take as well. That's the only one. And I'm pretty happy.
Liquid.
And I'll take my mood swings. I'm not trying. You know what? I've been diagnosed bipolar. Okay. So I have mood swings. So, okay.
Oh,
you know?
Like, because I think it just, I change my mind a lot, and I hide, like, my mood changes a lot, and I roll with it, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
but other people, it really confuses the shit out of them.
Totally.
Like, Why are you confused? Like, I'm not really confused. Like, I'll figure it out. Like,
yeah.
Don't worry about
me.
Well,
I changed my mind. I believed it this way yesterday, and today I believe it this way. And it's and it's different, and I allow myself to make that shift.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going through an ascension. The Earth is turning into a star. There's going to be changes. I'm just flowing with what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, if you know,
holy
that's,
shit.
Yeah, that too. So wait a minute. I definitely want to ask you if are there like does your family have prophecies or anything about these times?
Oh yeah, like my cook-em had big time prophecies.
Can
you
share
she's
them?
Not around anymore, so. All I have is, like, you know, a few things. I could read you something.
Okay.
On her. I have this book. I just brought it home from work, actually, because I'm packing up my office.
Okay.
It's called Those Who Know.
Oh,
and it's
nice.
Profiles of Alberta's Native Elders.
Okay.
So she was profiled back in 1989.
Oh, wow.
That's
the year
my sister was born.
Convergence. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so she's always had these prophecies. Like
okay,
She's traveled all around the U.S. and gotten lots of teachings and medicines, and she was a medicine woman, so she, you know, she was very outspoken. And it's funny because her name was Rose, and, like, there was a saying somebody told me, like, yesterday, and it was like, roses are so, you know, soft and beautiful, yet they're willing to draw blood when necessary.
Oh, right on.
And that's how she was. Like, one time, I guess, she slit her wrists in a welfare office because they weren't helping her. And she's like, well, we're going to die anyways.
Wow.
Yeah, like, she was just a rebel, man. Okay.
That's
so this is her. This is her profile. It's a few pages. Not her complete profile.
Do me a favor, though, when you read, use inflections. You know what I'm saying? Read with pauses and be her voice.
Okay. So, Rose Ogier, Cree from Drift Power Reserve. So that's where I'm going back to next week.
Where is it? Where is it?
Drift Pile Reserve in northern Alberta.
Okay.
So this is the spring of 1989.
Okay.
So this was before my sister was born. I was 2. Okay.
you've never
Rose
been
Ogier. So Rose Ogier scoops up a handful of black dirt and surveys the freshly tilled garden plot behind her Faust Community Hall. Closing her eyes, she imagines green plants poking through the soil. Her ancestors didn't grow food, but Rose sees her garden as a necessary tradition for the coming years.
Mm.
It is not hard to figure out we have to create another way of sustaining ourselves. Indians especially have to keep our earth intact. If we have no more land, we cannot carry out our religion, our traditional ways. We cannot even pick medicine plants. The Cree medicine woman's moccasins leave tiny imprints in the soft garden dirt as we head back to her two-story log house. Passing by a sweat lodge and a wood pile in her yard. In her large kitchen, Rose sets coffee cups steaming with strawberry mint tea on the table and sits down, her dark eyes piercing and her expression intense as she continues talking about self-reliance in the future. Many Indian people live on reservations. They have all kinds of land. They can sustain themselves by raising domestic animals and growing food. We have to find our own natural way of surviving and go back to our ceremonies. Now we have TV, bingo halls, and things like that. It's all out there, and it deals with trying to be economically stable. Well, it's a fantasy, a dream, and it's destroying our children and our homes. We have to get back to our traditional life. Because then you become whole, you're happy, you're at peace. You can put in a garden, you can pick your own medicines, your own natural foods. There is so much you can do for yourself which keeps you healthy. You are outside doing these things. In the other world, you sit and you lay and you eat and you become very unhealthy. With an unhealthy body, things just get worse, says Rose, suggesting the sweat lodge is a good place to become healthy again. A place where your body, mind, and spirit are all brought back into balance. It's a purifier of yourself, and it takes toxins out of your body. It cleanses your soul and spirit. Rose laughs and refers to the sweat lodge as her people's treatment center because it was used to put everything in place. She insists, what we had was far superior to anything this new world, to anything in this new world to keep us healthy and happy and give us clear vision of what life should be. In the sweat lodge, when you feel a spirit, you can't deny it. If you have prepared yourself and the pipe holder leading the sweat is strong, you can't deny spiritual power. It might come in the form of emotions, but you feel something. People today have forgotten how to live, Rose insists, and she knows many Native people who are not willing to sacrifice living in a strict and powerful way according to the Creator's laws. She believes this unwillingness will eventually bring destruction. There is a prophecy. We know this time is coming. It's a time of purification. There will be floods, eruptions, many things. The earth is starting to rebel against what is going on. It's so unbalanced. The purification is going to happen, and when it does, we are going to have to start over. We are near to that time. The medicine people and prophets Rose travels to meet with in northern Alberta, Saskatchewan, and the United States have said for many years the people need to prepare themselves for the purification. The time may come when we can't find water, so we should learn to find water. If we can't find medicines, we have to revive our powers to communicate and be guided as to how we are going to survive. For instance, you might be guided to the mountains, to a place where you can survive. Medicine bundles, sacred songs, and ancient ceremonies used by First Nations on this continent to survive long ago are once again needed for survival. These sacred things kept the spirits of the people open to the Creator's guidance and love and kept them firmly connected to Manitou, the Great Spirit. The word disconnected comes up often when Rose discusses ways most people are today. She suggests the first Europeans who landed in North America became disconnected from their homelands and were no longer at one with their Creator when they left ancestral roots behind. They lost the most important part of themselves, their spirit connection, she says. The emphasis was put on economic development instead of human development. Human development is the finding of your identity by looking at your history, your roots. It's a way of life that guides you and helps you to know the right thing to do. Without this kind of human development, people disconnect from the guidance of the Creator and look only to themselves for direction. Rose explains, with the spirit connection gone, the mind and body take over, and they get stuck on themselves and nothing else matters. The mind and body are self-centered. They seek to be satisfied with the least efforts and become attached to those things. When people come to Rose to regain their lost spiritual connection, she helps them to realize the world does not revolve around them. We have to relate to what is around us, be it a tree, a blade of grass, or a clear spring water. She says, stressing each person must understand he or she is no more important than the Creator's other miracles. This realization does not come easily to most people who have learned to over-individualize and worry mostly about their own comfort, rendering life much more complicated than it was meant to be. They have grown up using their minds and not nurturing their spirits, Rose explains. A person must be totally sincere in wanting to know the truth about life and be willing to break down old, deeply ingrained ideas. Most people, especially young people, want knowledge right away. But it doesn't happen like that, says Rose. People's beliefs are layered around them, and the layers are hard to peel off because they are so tough from the years of reinforcement. Just like an onion, the layers must be gently peeled away until the soft heart at the center is exposed. This can take years, but as long as the person continues to move around the medicine circle towards the Creator, that is okay, she adds. Rose's house is sometimes home to several young people who want to find their identity and reestablish their connection with the Creator. They pray in the sweat lodge, work in the garden, and Rose hopes begin to become more aware of the beauty and land around them. Spiritual training begins with a giveaway, an offering to show the sincerity to the teacher. When you work with an elder, the elder is gifted in a certain way, and he uses the gift to help you. So for me, you must bring 4 colors of cloth, 3 packs of tobacco, and a gift. It should be something that makes you feel good to give away or something that hurts you to give away. Mm-hmm. Once the offering is made, the giver receives his or her Indian name in a ceremony. This is important. This is an important rite because it gives the seeker an identity. It reflects their true nature. It is who they are. You have a helper spirit in the world who is with you all the time. It's like you're double in the spirit world. That's who you are. That's your Indian name, your real name. You begin to understand yourself, why you are the way you are, because your name teaches you that. The name-giving ceremony symbolizes the beginning of the journey along the red road. For those who want to follow it back to their Creator, the road is long, and the way of it is neither easy nor comfortable for the mind and body. It means upholding a strict and powerful way of living, but in the end, as Rose puts it, it's all there is. So,
wow.
And then there's another section, and it's like 3 years later, spring of 1991.
Okay.
But I just wanted to touch on the name giving, because my cookgram, she gave me a name when I was born.
Absolutely. I was going to reference that as well, so you're reading my mind. Go, girl.
And it has helped me a lot in reflecting on who am I, like, you know, my true nature, what am I meant to do, and every time I think of my name and I think of my spirit animals, like, I get a new piece of my path, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the spider is one of my guardian spirits, and the hawk is one of my spirits.
Yeah.
And, you know, the hawk is the messenger, and the spider has a web of connection, and, you know, my Indian name is Pretty Voice Hawk Lace Woman, so I'm meant to, you know, speak, or I'm meant to sing, or I'm meant to, you know, speak the messages and tell the people, and I'm meant to connect, network. I'm meant to, you know, I don't know, like, for some reason, that's just my path. Right? And
no, right.
That's
a beautiful reason, though.
And if it wasn't for, you know, if it wasn't for my blessing of having this name and having, you know, my family, who my family is, and, you know, everything, like, I might just be well as lost as any other person, you know, but I am who I am, and...
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I don't know, so I just encourage, you know, everybody to just explore themselves and give yourself a name. What are you attracted to? What are you, you know, what animals do you tend to notice? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, well, I wasn't born Golden Hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah. but hands down, I absolutely, like, when... Like, I broke up with my boyfriend this weekend, or this past week, and when I need the strength to fly alone, and believe me, I have flown many, many moons alone, I call in the hawk, because the hawk is essentially a solo animal, you know, it's not a pack animal, because wolf is part of my totem as well, but... You know, I don't have a significant other. I don't have children, so...
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't have a family. I'm definitely finding my family, but in the moments when, you know, I'm sitting home by myself and I don't have a boyfriend anymore. I'm like, I call in the Hawk to say, you know, like, help me find the strength to at least understand or feel the confidence that, because, like, my new awareness is if I'm going to make a choice, the key is, can you do it and not regret it no matter what?
Yeah.
And in the moment, because here's the truth. Because I change my mind as often as I do, you know, okay, you know, I could change my mind and say, hey, want to get back together? Now, at the moment, I'm not feeling that, but meaning once I make the choice that I'm going to break up with him, can I embody that totally? Because in that embodiment is like the next step of whatever's supposed to going to happen, because I wasn't happy. You know, I was reaching a point where it was like self-love or lack of self-love, you know, to stay with him.
Yeah,
like,
I hear ya. I hear
know,
ya. I have an on
love
and off
me.
Thing.
Yeah,
myself.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like, and you know, I tell people, and I absolutely agree that, you know, the animals that you resonate with, because, I mean, it's so funny, because I'm actually going to add three things. When I was talking at the beginning of the program, I said two of the most life-altering experiences that happened to me I never intended, in that, you know, I have a radio show and I've been on a spaceship. But I'm going to add the third thing was I intended my name change. I did not choose it for myself. I was actually I had a vision and a shamanic beautiful being gifted me with my name.
Yeah.
And again, that was something that happened to me. It wasn't from my mental construct. I didn't build, you know, because I remember when I was in the 3-month period of looking for my name, people were like, well, what are you going to name yourself? And I'm like, well, it's going to come to me. I don't know how
exactly.
It's going to come to me.
Yeah, it's going to come
to you.
You
know, cause what
if you want a
myself?
Name, you want a new name, you want, you know, you want to find your identity.
Exactly. And
then
I
it will come
it.
To you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I offer that to everyone, that the changes that we want, if we show some, you know, trust in the patience part, you know, the name Golden Hawk fits me to a T. It is my essence. I didn't know that at the time before that. You know, in other words, I never thought of myself as being strong, being alone. But when I got the name, I really started developing the parts of me that I had not looked at before, exactly like you were saying. And I recognized I'm a natural at being alone. I'm a natural at it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Me too.
Yeah.
You know, like a part of us
well.
Longs for that partner, but then, like, honestly, like when I'm by myself and I'm like in my own world and like I get so much more done, I like, you know, I just do more, I'm happier overall, I'm, you know, and even in like my charts and stuff, like I'm meant to be solo, like I don't know why.
Yeah,
some people
I don't,
are meant,
believe me,
but
I'm
because
I'm
apparently
W-A.
In my past lives I've been like very,
I think it has, my heart really tells me it has a lot to do with this particular lifetime, what the planet's going through, what we're going, because as soon as we become fifth dimensional beings, our twin flames are
going to be one anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just this particular.
It's the beauty of it, because in all of our past, like if you think about our whole history, we've always had a partner. Like if that was just always what society was imposed upon us. Even the native peoples, right? Like we always had our teepee with our family, we stayed with the same mate, like we were supposed to stay with the same mate our whole life, otherwise it's not, I don't know, good, whatever.
Right.
But yeah, it's really interesting, like these times we're living in, everyone's like a new world and this is the new world. Like and it's always gonna change and it's always gonna be different.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and
it is really interesting
runners.
That
we are literally the cutting edge of consciousness. So
I remember when 2011 started, I was really excited, really happy, and I was talking to my friend, but there's like this weird feeling in me that was like, oh man, like the rest of the world still needs to wake up. I have to help them. Because I'm already so aware of all this stuff and blah, blah, but just really realizing that, well, most people still aren't.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, It's like, I have a lot of work to do. But it'll come the way it comes.
Well, yeah, and you were born for this work. Mm-hmm. It's just about being authentic. Your work is mostly for all of the leaders, and when I mean leaders of consciousness, it's really just about us all accepting that we might not be the paradigm that the culture has said, whatever our culture, because we're authentic. That is the new paradigm, to be uniquely ourselves in the group, but still uniquely ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know that's been one of my biggest challenges or hurdles, you know, and yet it's been in my face my whole life where, you know, I can stay in a group for so long, but, you know, ultimately I end up getting kicked out of the group because I won't follow blindly just because it's a group consensus. I mean,
yeah,
I have,
that's like my work,
I have my
right?
own opinion.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it's awesome. Like, I love my job, but that's just it. Like, it's, like, I'm not a lifer. I'm not a lifer.
Yeah, me either. One of the reasons why I like nannying is every 3 to 5 years, you get a new kid.
Yeah.
You know, something changes. I'm not afraid of change. I've incorporated it into my experience.
Yeah.
Totally. That was really beautiful, though, what you read about your...
Well, do you want
me
to finish reading the rest
right?
now?
Oh, that would be fabulous. Please.
Let's see, 2 more pages.
No, I don't... You're reading beautifully, too. That's the key.
Okay.
It's very nice.
So... Now this lady writes, who wrote this book, her name is Diane Melli, M-E-I-L-I.
Okay.
She's the one, I want to meet her, I'm going to find her.
Okay.
So spring of 1991, so this is 3 years later.
Okay.
So the journey from Edmonton back home to Peace River seems longer than usual. Just north of White Court, I drive past the highway 32 turnoff, brake, and execute a quick U-turn and cut north toward Canuso. That's where my other grandma lived, Canuso.
Right.
The decision reminds me with a glimpse of a deer in a honey gold sunset over the Swan Hills. Now, will Rose be home, I wonder? From my tape deck floats a symphonic music blended with loon calls, seagull cries, and timber wolf howls, an environmental message. At the end of side 2, a man reads from a diary dated 2040, saying, "My regrets are wasted as I sit indoors like all others on this planet. The view from the window is always shocking and repugnant. It offers a vision of destructive ignorance, a vision of lust, a vision of wilderness lost. Mankind has brutally devastated the ecosystems of this world with his varied waste. Yet, I am fortunate, being a man of age and experience. I can still see the brilliant colors of the seasons past. The true pungent smell of the pine and a crisp, cold morning. Those things that nature once offered so freely, in such abundance, I remember, and I can dream." Tears well up as I feel more than I see, beauty surrounding me, imagining it gone in a few decades. How appropriate it is to have these emotions before coming to see Rose, because she has made me understand how important Native spirituality is to saving our planet. Listening to her words about the Creator's intentions for us, my doubt about the spirit world has melted, and I was able to believe in it. All things do have a spirit, and we must show respect, for we are all influencing each other, she said. The light is on as I pull into her driveway. Rose is in the living room on the telephone, and the house is chaotic as several young people pack to leave on a trip somewhere. When she finally sits down with me, I tell her about my tears. She nods, and her eyes nail mine as she describes an international conference she attended last summer in Quito, Ecuador, to discuss preparations for consciousness-raising activities in 1992. She hopes Canadian natives will unite to make others aware of the 500 years of oppression and environmental destruction First Nations people have endured since the Europeans first arrived on the island in 1492. Indian people must wake up. They are asleep. They know honesty and respect, but many just exit. But many just exist by stealing. This has never been our way. We are born of a people who walked softly on this earth, moving with the seasons and eating birds and fish while letting young animals grow. We were in touch, but now we are not, she almost shouts. That's how she talked, she shouted. Part
like
of
my grandma.
Part of this waking up means replacing women to their rightful place in society. It's been less than 100 years that men lost touch with reality. There is no power or medicine that has all force unless it is balanced. The women must be there also, but she has been left out. When we still had our culture, we had the balance. The women made the ceremonies. She was recognized as being united with the moon, the earth, and all the forces on it. Men have taken over. Most feel threatened by holy women. They must stop and remember. Remember the loving power of their grandmothers and mothers. I mentioned the teachings of Eddie Bellrose, an elder living in Edmonton, who so eloquently described the insight he gained into female energy as he watched his young son trying to button his own shirt one morning. Eddie noted the boys struggling, rough-handed fingers fumbling with the buttons. Boys are clumsy, knowing nothing of love. Girls are more gentle and proper. Mothers breastfeed and hold babies close, teaching about love and bonding. Eddie said, if a woman really is in tune with her inner inside being, she knows the name of her baby. Well, he didn't say that.
Okay, she said that.
So I just read it wrong.
No worries. I knew so it was her. I heard it the other way anyways.
Okay. So if a woman is really in tune with her inside being, she knows the name of her baby, reflecting the child's nature. The moment of conception. Women are like Mother Earth, giving and giving and always trying to give more, he said. Women are understanding their own truth. When they come alive, their homes, their families will come alive, Rose agreed. The women's way is a life of giving. There is no glory, and it's humble, and it's a humble place. But women enjoy life. They help others to do the same. Women know the importance of togetherness. They know it's more important than punching a clock. Hey, that's what I'm doing, going home to be together.
There you go.
The Blackfoot people have the women in her rightful place. The women's societies are strong. Ha! It is a woman who just did the last shaking tent ceremony down in Blackfoot country in 1938, she remarks. Rose's words comply with those of a poem written by Saskatchewan Sky Blue Mary Morin called A How Holy Woman. In many circles, the Virgin, who symbolizes Mother Earth, is ready to bring forth creation. She is forgotten at the Sundance. Women who sang the morning song sang to bring down the sacred tree of life for the center Sundance pole, and rode the wagon that carried the pole, now behind the shadows of men who ride inside. Men need to do research into their family trees and find out where the women fitted in traditionally, Rose concludes. If they truly have power, they will be given guidance to discover the strength of women and work with her again. And women will work with men in balance. And that's it.
Wow, that's deep. You know, and I totally resonate with, you know, many of the things she said, especially the idea that Mother Earth and the Divine Feminine has, you know, there's a disconnect.
Yeah.
You know, I really, I feel that in my own being as well as I clearly see it, you know, in like when I'm with the kids, you know, doing the nannying stuff, and it's like, you know, come on, let's get outside. Like it always makes me laugh when, you know, when kids are afraid to get dirty, like the dirt. And I'm like, I'm picking it up, literally rubbing it on my skin, going, you have no idea how healthy this is. Rub it. Get it under your skin. Get it in your nails. Put it in your hair. This is earth.
Yeah.
You know, you got asthma. So stop, you know, they're medicating the hell out of these children, and I'm
I know.
You know, let's hug some trees. Let's you know, roll around in the grass. You know, everybody's worried about deer ticks, and it's like, no, that's crazy. This is earth, man. Earth is our mother.
Yeah.
I know her to be that, and you know, it's a very sad thing to watch people disconnected, especially at such a young age. You know, like, you know, when a 3-year-old doesn't want to get dirty, I'm like, you know, I can understand 13, you know, you're in puberty and you want boys, or, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. But 3, it's like, come on, you should be you should
well,
be happy
that's,
as a
that's
pig
their
and
conditioning,
poop.
Right? That's their parents.
Yeah,
don't get dirty, don't get dirty,
thing.
I'll slap you, don't get dirty. Like,
well,
they're
right,
afraid. The fear is already being beaten into them.
I got a 6-year-old that gets excited when we go to the store if I buy her Purell.
Oh, my God.
Like, I tell her, listen, you're not getting Purell. I'll get you candy. Get excited about candy. That's a normal thing for a kid to get. Don't be excited about 99.9% bacteria free.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God, it's the conditioning. And I force her to, like, I'll make her share a drink with me because she's, like, she's literally a germaphobe.
Wow.
And I'm yeah, and
her
parents
really beating some fear into her.
And they don't even know they're doing it. It's so unconsciously
done. Yeah, they think they're doing the best they know how.
They are. Because I love these. This whole family I adore to pieces. It's just when you're there from an awareness point of view, you really see, like, you know, exactly like we just said, they don't know what they're teaching their children to be.
Yeah.
And it's a...
And the other interesting part that I got out of this book, because, like, I had this book for a long time, but I didn't read it for a long time because I just, like, you know, it was just kind of hard. But, like, I've only actually read this recently, and so every time I read it, it's like I get something new out of it. And, like,
what
I got this time was, like, they all, like, the Europeans who came here got disconnected from their home roots. It's in turn they started inflicting that disconnect on the other people.
Absolutely.
So I just find that really interesting. So I would just like to, encourage everybody out there to really research where you come from. What were your people like? What did they do? What are their traditions? Because I know when I started researching and I started, like, doing, you know, beadwork and, like, different things, that stuff came so natural to me. And, like, it just totally uplifted my spirit. And it was like, wow, why haven't I been doing this my whole life, you know?
Oh, nice.
You know, I don't know, it's like we don't realize how much, you know, internal nature we have because we just aren't aware of who our ancestors were and what our people used to do. Like, those are all genetically encoded in us, and go with the flow, go with what you're natural at.
Yeah.
You know, don't go against the grain.
Yeah. Yeah, don't become a lawyer because it's a money-filled career. What are you passionate about? You know, because I remember I have told parents of mine that have kids, you know, my personal belief is at 18, kids should go out, you know, see the world, take jobs, you know, kooky jobs, you know, jobs that make, you know, $4 an hour or $7, you know, meaning... Find out what you really love to do, then at 25 to 30, then decide to go to college. When it's something that, you know, you've seen some of the world, you've tried, you know, I worked many, many jobs before I actually became a nanny, because at 18 when I got out of school, well, first of all, I was so rebellious against the whole system. I was like, you will never see me step foot in school again, because I intuitively knew it was
I dropped out of school when I was 16.
Yeah. And then when I was 25 and, you know, somebody offered me a nanny gig and I was like, oh, well, you know, I'll try this. And then I was like, oh, my God, you get paid to play? You get, you know, are you kidding me? This is a great gig. And I did it for 5 years and then said, well, okay, if I'm going to make a career out of it, I'll go to school so I can have a degree and then I can make a career out of it. You know, it's like it all came from a passionate point of view. And, you know, people are like, you can't make a living being a nanny. It's like, I make very good money being a nanny. You know, I don't declare any of it, but I make good money. <You know? laughs> That's for another show. But, you know, the truth is, it's like, we can't, you know, to have our kids go to college right at 18 for
I disagree with that, ma'am. I just disagree with the whole school system in general. Like, it took me dropping out and having a bunch of petty jobs to realize I don't want to make $6.50 an hour for the rest of my life.
Right.
And, you know, and just realizing what I was always natural at was helping people and giving good advice and having friends come to me years later. Remember when you told me that? Like, I'll always remember that, and that helped me so much.
Nice.
And, you know, like, I just knew that I was a natural, wise advisor, and I thought, well, if I had some pieces of paper behind my name, people would actually, you know, like, respect my opinions more.
Right.
And, like,
and pay you for them better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the truth.
So,
same thing with me, you know?
So I decided, I knew I had to finish high school because, like, you just can't get anywhere without high school. So ended up finishing high school, and then I went to the college. I went to Rhodes Wellness College and got my two-year counseling diploma, and then just been working since. And now I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to go home. And I only came to Vancouver to finish my high school. That was my only goal. And I completed high school, I did some college, and I got a good job, and yesterday I got my learner's license.
Oh, sweet.
Yay, so I've accomplished, that was like one of my goals since I was like 14.
Oh, wow, right on.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It was a huge, huge accomplishment for me. I know it's like just your learners, but.
No,
I've never had a car. I've never, you know,
yourself.
People don't
it
let me drive their
huge.
Cars because I don't have my learners even, but now I do.
Nice.
So I'm
nice.
Ready to move on to the next steps, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just like I've exceeded my expectations of coming out here and, you know, but it took, you know, dropping out of school, having crappy jobs, you know, like experiencing those things to really figure out, well, what do I really want to do? And it just really breaks my heart to see these people with degrees, with master degrees, working at freaking Starbucks because their whole life has been a school career and they have no work experience. Now they're working at Starbucks with a 4-year degree.
Yeah.
Like, it just totally, like, it pisses me off because they just don't have the confidence to put into action and to transmute their skills with the other jobs or whatever, right? Like, and that's something I'm really good at helping people with is, like, just transforming their perception and seeing the possibilities of, you know, what they're capable of and helping them, you know, gain the confidence and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, it just really just breaks my heart. Like, you, like, parents, there's such, like, there's just such a pressure for students and for kids and for youth and adults to you know, to get schooling. And it's like, take your time.
Yeah.
School's always
there. You know, I'm totally with you because my father has a lot. My father worked in IBM for like 30 years. And he shared with me that he feels very similar to you where a lot of the kids of, he's retired now, but a lot of the kids of his friends who basically had PhDs, had these jobs that were paying, you know, $150,000, $200,000, and that was all that middle management that got eliminated, you know, in many of these downsizings of corporations.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, they're living home with their parents, you know, they can't get jobs even with PhDs. They can't find work right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, this is kind of like, it's the dark night of the soul for the masses.
Yeah. And that's where personal development comes in.
Exactly.
I don't think I'll ever not
be employed. That's exactly right. Because they have to understand of themselves more than just the intellect.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's part of the evolution that we're in right now. We're literally
And people are craving that, right?
Pardon?
People are, like, craving that.
Because everything else is failing.
Yeah.
You know, the mental concept of who we believe ourselves to be is no longer sustaining us.
Yeah.
We have to come back to the roots of our essences. And then apply a mental construct. But you can't do it the other way around. You can't apply the mental construct and on Saturday in church for 2 hours apply the spirit. That just doesn't fly.
No, it's all connected and it all has to operate as one.
yes. Your grandmother was very wise in knowing that if it's not in balance, inevitably it will fail. That's the nature of any system.
Yeah.
All systems will fail.
And
that's why nature is so beautiful, because nature seeks balance even in the midst of destruction, you know. It just keeps reproducing itself.
Yeah, isn't it so cool to see like a little flower growing out of concrete?
Yes. Yes, me and my girlfriend Janine were just talking about that. Yes, it's fascinating because it's almost like the flower will bloom from sheer tenacity because it knows it must. So it will rise from the rock. It's exactly right. You can't stop presence.
You can't stop life.
Well, you can stop an action, but you can't stop it from you can stop it from maybe happening in a place or something, but inevitably you can't hold it down. But you can't hold off a tsunami with your hand by going stop.
No.
And that I believe, because my gut is telling me right now, what's coming into the planet is literally the presence of not just people, the animals, the trees, the wind,
I think it's just the energy of all of our leaders, all of our corruption coming back to haunt us. It's our karma.
Yeah, well, right, because the veil is being lifted, so we're starting to see how corrupt everything is.
Yeah.
But that's the nature of healing.
As like energy carries, energy grows, what you think creates, right?
Absolutely.
About the anger, and you think about like all these third world countries, like you think about all the pain and suffering and anger and everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I know it's a war, like, you know, like it, like there's wars out there, you know, like.
Oh yeah, there's several wars going on out there right now.
So it's like that energy is also carrying, you know, and yeah, we are as light workers, we are needed to balance these things, and we are doing our best, but you know what, we can't stop what's already created.
Right.
Like,
right.
We can balance it, but we can't stop it. Yeah, we can do our best to balance it and neutralize
it,
and
absolutely,
like, it's like going to be a collective effort, and it's already happening.
Yeah.
But bottom line is there are more people suffering on this planet than are light workers.
Yeah, well, there's a deception, is that the word I want to use? There's a misconception that the wealthy have it better than the poor people.
Yeah, totally.
I have worked amongst the wealthy, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, they are starving for the virtues of this reality. Starving.
Yeah.
They do not have true nurturing.
Totally. And I can't say that, you know, every third world country,
sickly,
that every person is suffering. Like, it's all
no,
an
no,
internal
no,
thing,
right?
Right?
Nothing is a blanket. But I'm telling you, You would think with all the money, and many of the people with a lot of money also have, quote-unquote, the physical beauty that goes along with another thing that says, you know, doors open easy for those that are physically beautiful. You can't believe how miserable these people are. And like I said, they are starving for the things that have no physical price tag, the virtues.
Yeah, and they have no idea, too.
And they, well, I don't know if they have no idea, because what's interesting is they see it in their children, but they don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
And I know that only because I work with it. You know, like the unconditional love comes from their children. The joy of an infant when it cracks up, it can light up an entire room. And yet, you know, you look and you say to the parent, you know, when's the last time you cracked up? You know, just laughed until it hurt. And they're like, you know, it's been a really, really, really long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, wow, you know, if you don't have financial worries, what are you worried about? And, oh, my God, they're worried about everything.
Yeah,
they're worried about how much they weigh, how much they, you know, what their friends think, what kind of clothes. And it's like, boy,
yeah,
you know,
all the
judgment. It doesn't matter. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always tell people, there's no one answer other than my panacea, you know, what I consider the answer for everything. Go within and find your sustenance within. If you're looking for love, find love within you. If you're looking for beauty, find beauty within you. If you're looking for security, find security within you.
Yeah.
It all comes from that inside connection, and then it'll show up on the outside.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
I don't know what I'm looking for.
Well, I think you're just being guided by the moment. You know, right now I think you're looking to unify with your family. That is, it's guiding you, and I think it's a beautiful goal.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this is not a goal that you share alone. This is a goal that I am seeing as a, there's a thread. I see it amongst many people literally all over the world, Australia, Canada, Mexico, Florida.
Yeah.
I see it with a lot of the people in my world, you know, being drawn to be home.
Yeah, this past year has totally been like that.
Yeah.
Like my other good friend,
right?
Marisol, she moved back to Mexico at the end of last year, and then my other good friend, Jen, moved home to Edmonton. Her parents own a house, and,
right.
You know, and I feel like I'm just waiting until the last minute.
Well,
I'm making it all intense on myself. Because even this summer, I had the strong intuition of going home. But, like, a part of me, like, I just didn't want to quit my comfy job, you know? I didn't want to quit my comfy life. And it's comfy and it's good, but it's not, like, I'm not growing, like, spiritually, personally. It's just, you know, it's great. It's day to day. It's easy. It's comfortable. But, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Time for
we
the
got
next.
A call. We got somebody wants to share something.
Oh,
let's see.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a few minutes left. Hi, area code 386. You're on the line.
Hi, Goldie.
Hi.
This is Art.
Oh, hey, Art. Namaste.
I just wanted to call. I don't want to take up a lot of time, but this is absolutely beautiful, and she is listening to her heart, and that is total love right there.
Right on.
So, so beautiful. That is so beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome very much. I just wanted to share that. Once, you know, somebody had to tell you that you're doing the right thing, you know, in
right
your
on.
Heart, listening to
right
your
on.
Heart.
Mm-hmm. And even if it's uncomfortable, it's because I'm growing and it's the journey.
Listen, and just so you know, Art is one man who walks his talk. This man is absolutely connected to Mother Earth. I mean, hands down, he has been living in congruency with the Mother Earth. When I mentioned Florida, it was Art. You know, truly. So in other words, when he says it from a depth that goes, you know, this is, it's deep. It's deep.
Mm-hmm. That's good confirmation.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes,
I need it.
He's Grandpa Art to all of us. You rock, Art.
Josh and John's Josh and John's mother lives in Calgary.
Oh, Albert. There you go. That's right.
Oh, who's this?
That's his son. Tell him.
I have
two
children.
Yeah.
That's where my mom lives. I'll be hitting up Calgary for sure. I'll be all over Alberta in the next few months. I'll be going from Lethbridge to Calgary, Edmonton to North Driftpile, Slave Lake area.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you continue your
Thank
talk.
Thank you, Art.
I love you,
coming
Art.
From
Thank
your
you.
Heart, I could feel it so strongly, and listening to your heart, beautiful. So have
Thank
a lovely
you.
Evening, both of you.
You too.
Okay. You're beautiful. Thank you, Art.
Okay, bye.
Namaste.
That was nice.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I love our family. This is what I'm feeling. It, you know, because we are all supporting each other with the knowingness. And it's a knowingness that doesn't, you know, it's not like, you know, some people need the knowingness in a statistical report. You know, this is not.
Yep.
The heart works from a frequency.
Mm-hmm.
That's our messages. It comes through in dreams. It comes through in nature. It comes through in people's presence. You know what I'm saying? And these are things that don't have price tags on them, which most people put a value to it based on, well, how much is it worth on the free market? It's like priceless. That's what Art Share was. It had no financial value. It had everything from soul value.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I make all these collages, and always on my collages I have travel and, like, you know, like, I just have, like, reconnection to the earth. And, like, on this one poster I'm looking at, it says, nature is my kingdom. And it says, to think Indian is to uphold a justice system older than any government. And, like, you know, that's my purpose, is to uphold our earth's justice system.
Yeah.
You know? Creating truth to power. And then I have, like, all these other things that says standing for choice, vision, comfort, brilliant. Like, it's magic, walk on water. And I have that on, like, a little thing of water. And then I have this guy, and he's on, like, a surfboard, and he's, like, in the midst of a wave, and it says double standard. You know?
I love it. That's a great visual. That's great. Yeah, well, you know, it's so funny because I'm realizing as we're talking right now, I connected with Mother Earth when my mother died. In other words, where I can see that now as, well, what a gift she gave me to be connected for the last 10 years, because my mom died in 2000, 11 years.
Wow.
But now I see it as, I mean, she was handing me off to Mother Earth because that's where my next, you know, that's where I had to be in order to be at the level of confidence that I could be at today.
Yep.
You know, so it's like you're absolutely in the right space. If you're connecting to Mother Earth, hands down at this point in time, nothing is more important than that. Because
totally.
It's her that's making this dramatic change with us. I mean, we are both going to be, you know, light bodies. It's like, how do we go about that? Well, all we have to do is connect with her, and she'll show us how to do it.
Yeah.
The natural way. Not, you know, not the, I have to think about it and build and construct a light body or a Merkaba. No. All we have to do is relax into it, and she'll take us there.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to the land of fruit and plenty. I mean, that is what we have all dreamed about since we were kids. It is going to happen. I mean, it's happening. We're living it right now. Deep.
Yeah, very deep.
Listen, I really appreciate you showing up tonight, even though you had such a bad day. I really, really do.
It wasn't a bad day. It was just a roller coaster.
Or rather dramatic day. Yeah. So
totally.
But listen, there's plenty of people that would have just bailed and you didn't, and I really appreciate that, because It's just all about, this show is really, that's why I'm actually going to do a write-up on my website, because I'm really getting that, I'm not into putting up, you know, healers and the amazingness and the amazing, I just want people to share what's going on right now in their world, because, you know,
that's why, so that's why I called in anyways, like, I wasn't going to cancel, like, I wanted to talk about this, because, like, today was the day I told work, like, I've been sitting with this for all week, you know, and knowing this all week, my apartment's already subletted, everything's already in place. I just had to tell work, and I gave them 2 days' notice, which, you know, doesn't really usually fly, but, you know, I got to do what I got to do, and, you know, of course it's emotional, of course it's, you know, it's a big change, and it's going to be different, and, you know, but I really did want to just share because I'm making a huge decision and I'm following my heart and, you know, and I'm just telling people it's not easy, but you do what you got to do too.
Yeah.
You know, if you got to go home, you got to go somewhere else, you got to do something, just make the decision, make some actions and creator and spirit and, you know, you will be supported. If it's for your highest good, you will be so supported. Like, look, I have everything in place. It hasn't even been 1 week since I began the process. It's Thursday. Like, I decided on Sunday morning.
No, it's so true. Trust the process, everybody. Trust the process. Because if not now, when?
Exactly.
Listen, I love and my, you, little sister. No, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, coming back from work, my dad was just like, you know, you did give work a lot. You helped them set up this program, and you sustained this program, and now they can. Like, you're giving someone else an opportunity to, you know, work in the community, and, you know, because I've been, so it just, and like you said, like I just got a lot of good validation and pieces from today, because, and like you said, like, go out with a bang, like, come, like, leave when you're number one, don't leave,
Jerry,
when, like,
Jerry Seinfeld,
don't leave when you're old, you know, like,
yes, believe it, it's such a confirmation that we trust our intuition, because our intuition doesn't, we don't have to fall into the ceiling falling down, because our intuition gave us the hit to leave long before it came to that.
Mm-hmm. I had the hit to leave, like, the beginning of the summer, you know, and I, you know, I've been fighting it. But
well,
now I'm
you've
like,
been,
all right.
You've been, you've been coming to the point of, because as much as our intuition gave it to you at the beginning of the summer, your soul, when your soul wants you to move, and this is for any of us, believe me, there's no refusing the soul. When the soul wants us to move, we move.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of accommodating our personalities, our egos, our whatever level of conscious you want to call the third dimension. There's an accommodation process that I think our soul takes into account. But the truth is, we're never late. We've never missed an appointment. When our soul wants us to do something or be somewhere, hands down, we do it. Because we are the product of our soul. We're the projection of our souls.
Yep.
It's who we are. Naturally.
Definitely.
Hey, will you keep in touch and definitely let me know, and because I want you to come back on when you're settled in the spontaneity of it all and you're feeling sweet and you know what I mean? Like, you're flying in all the unknownness and going, yeah, this is exactly where I was supposed to be. Will you come back on and share some stories of what's going on?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, awesome. I love you, sister. Yeah. Yeah, you just keep on trucking. You're doing so beautifully. So
thank
beautifully.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Art.
Thank you.
So I guess this is the end of the show, isn't it?
Yeah, we did 2 hours. Well, an hour and 45 minutes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk soon, show or no
Absolutely.
Show. I'll give you a call and we'll chat.
Sounds perfect.
Thank you.
Many, many blessings.
I never want to hang up with you.
Well, listen, hop on Facebook. We can chat on Facebook if you want. I never go to sleep after a show. I'm always so pumped. It's awesome.
Okay. I'll see you on Facebook.
You got it, Mouse. I'll see you in a few minutes.
Bye, everybody.
All right. Namaste, everybody. Bye.
Bye.